Monster Man, episode 399, Fear and Fish. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our journey through Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And we have got a strange combination for you. A completely new monster, well, completely new to me anyway, I haven't encountered it before, and also some fish. So let's get started. First up, we have the Fear. That's F-E-Y-R, but it's pronounced Fear, and it's also all about fear. The Fear is, from what I looked up, it seems to be a monster from the Forgotten Realms setting specifically. I don't know like what book or scenario or whatever it originates in. This is the first time I've seen it. The Fear is a kind of multi-mouth, many-eyed, tentacled, blobby, Lovecraftian horror. Kind of a cool iridescent color scheme. They're described as being like the rainbow sheen of an oil spill, which is really nice. They are the magical emanations of nightmares, and they're caused when you get a combination of lots of people having like nightmares or profound fears and an excess of kind of residual magic. So you tend to find them in areas that have both a dense population and also lots of magic kicking around. So say like a big city in the Forgotten Realms, right? Baldur's Gate or wherever would be the ideal breeding ground for these things. There's a bunch of anxious people all sleeping, and then also who knows what kinds of wizards and clerics and alchemists and what have you are accidentally like letting their magic items into the water supply. The Fear have a grotesque and horrifying appearance, and when they attack people, the attacks with their kind of mouths along the undersides of their bodies are particularly savage and bloody. So savage and bloody that the main point is actually to frighten people, because the Fear feed off of the negative emotions that are generated. And they have another emotion manipulation power to go along with this. There's two kinds of fear. Mostly we're talking about the common fear. These ones kind of like drift along the back alleys of cities, you know, looking for people to prey on and terrify. And they're killed by sunlight, but judging from the description here, they don't seem to be aware of that fact. It says like they try to go out, you know, they don't bother to take shelter before sun comes up. So usually they're short-lived. They just get destroyed when the sun comes up, just as the terrors of a nightmare fade with the dawn. Get it? So I think that this implies a scenario, and you know, maybe this is the scenario they come from, I don't know, where the problem isn't so much the individual fear, but the magical leak that's creating them. So let's say, for example, you know, there are grisly murders in the city, people are being mauled to death, and the mayor offers a 1,000 gold piece bounty for whoever can catch this monstrous killer. And so the player characters go on a, like, nighttime rain-slick cobblestone manhunt, you know, prowling around the back alleys of whatever fantasy city they're in, lying in wait, maybe running into, like, some other people up to no good, you know, they have surprised some jewel thieves or cultists or whatever, but eventually they find the killer, only it turns out to be this gross blob monster, and after a ferocious combat in which they have to watch the party monk get gnawed on by alarmingly human-like teeth, eventually they defeat the creature, job done, go to the mayor, get your 1,000 gold pieces, but what's this? Another grisly murder the next night. So then with the mayor slinging accusations at them, they have to go out again that night, and they find, yeah, it's the same monster again, or is it just another one that looks like it? You know, maybe the second time that they're fighting it, the sun comes up and they see that it dissolves and they realize, ah, okay, well, we did kill that thing, but it just comes back each night. We have to figure out what is causing it. So then they go and investigate and they find the nightmares and the magical contamination and they put a stop to that, job done. Cool little urban horror mystery scenario with a couple of good monster fights in it. Excellent. Now, I said that that was the common or lesser fear. You also got the greater fear, and they are not vulnerable to sunlight in the same way. They are created when a bunch of lesser fears merge together. So you're going to find them forming, if not necessarily staying, in areas where you have a large number of people who are all frightened or anxious about something, right? In areas where like nightmares and stress and fright are particularly common. So they give examples of things like cities under siege or places that are affected by plague. And that I think really helps like add to the tension and atmosphere of the scenario when you've got a lot of these lesser fears wandering around, but then also eventually they form one big one, and that one big one isn't vulnerable to sunlight. It doesn't have the same weakness as its lesser cousins, and it's a lot smarter and more precise in how it goes around terrorizing people and, you know, kind of picking its targets in order to get maximum terror and therefore maximum emotional sustenance. You know, I actually like these creatures a lot. The one thing that I don't like about them is the name, which is just too on the nose. And when I read it, of course, the name is the first thing, and I thought, oh, you know, we're in for some silly stuff now. But actually, I think there's a lot you could do with this creature. Probably not more than once. I think it's a two-step, right? So you do the one with the little ones, and then you do the one with the big one, where the PCs already are bought into the concept of the little monsters. Maybe it's just me. I tend to enjoy combat descriptions that are particularly sort of brutal and grisly. You know, I think it's easy to sort of have combat be very, not even descriptive, but just kind of like blandly mechanical. And that's fine, but it takes some of the drama and excitement out of it. You know, it takes some of the emotional aspect, the emotional stakes out of it. And I think the fear as a creature that, you know, emotion is important to it, helps deal with that problem. And I particularly like that it's not just making people afraid. It is making people afraid, but it occurs in areas where people are already afraid. So the menacing atmosphere of the scenario feels earned because those people are already afraid of something else, about something else, before the monster even turns up. It's kind of like one of those sort of hard-boiled crime novels where the detective goes after a murderer who is preying on a city that's already at boiling point because of, you know, whatever other social phenomena, right? Where the riots or the fires or the drought or whatever. Now, from there, we go to the next entry, fish. Now, listen, I got nothing against this entry. It's great. It's got loads of fish in it. It takes all the different fish monsters that have been in all the previous monster books and it puts them all in one convenient place. This does have the effect of pointing out how similar to each other many of them are, but it's a load of different fish monsters in just two pages, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's got real fish, it's got giant versions of real fish, like your catfish, comma, giant, and then it's also got your fictitious ones, like the pungi ray, the dragonfish, and other spiny fish that lie on the bottom of the sea so that someone will step on them and get poisoned. I had forgotten all about those guys. I'm sort of glad to see that they're still around. I don't like them because they're basically landmines. They represent, I think, an earlier way of thinking about D&D, where character death was much more frequent and sort of less consequence, where at the end, the character deaths would sort of pile up into this thing of like, oh, we lost many good comrades in that mine, rather than bringing the career of some player who was heavily invested in their character to a screeching halt. And, you know, in second edition, I think you start to get this greater level of, well, not start, it starts in first edition. But in second edition, I think by this point, there's already this fairly big emphasis on the heroism of PCs, which is sort of undercut by the idea of stepping on the back of a spiny fish in shallow, muddy water, failing a saving throw, and dropping stone dead, which is what happens when you step on either the pungi ray or the dragonfish, one or the other. The ray comma pungi, excuse me. But yeah, they're fine. They're great. You know, and they're conveniently all in a single location. It's exactly the kind of multi-monster two-pager for boring monsters that I have been asking for, right? Listen, if you're going to do an adventure game, at some point somebody's going to have to dive into the shark-infested waters. I'm currently reading the third book in Jin Yang's Legend of the Condor Heroes series, and it's got a great shark-infested waters bit, so I'm all for it. There's not, like, really anything exciting to say about it, but it's quite a useful entry to have, so that's all right. Okay, that's about all the fears and fish we've got time for today. In our next episode, we're going to be doing a listener request special episode, taking a look at some topics suggested by my Patreon backers, so I hope that you will join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.